Ghost Knight Media Studios and Paranormal Underground Magazine. Welcome to Paranormal Underground Radio. It's time to explore the unexplained with your hosts, Rick Hale and Karen Frazier.
It is Thursday night, and if you can hear our voices, you are exactly where you need to be. She is Karen Frazier. I am Rick Hale. This is Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com.
Welcome
to the Underground. Holla. That's the same thing
as back.
Peace at the end of the show. Yes, Karen, welcome back.
I've forgotten how to do radio. So if I sound a little rusty, you know, it's clearly that I no longer remember how to talk.
No, I mean, let's face it. You have saved my butt on numerous occasions whenever we talk about quantum stuff. So I will say well. So, you know, Karen, we have a good show tonight.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of people will enjoy it. I know I will. I wanted to talk to somebody from this show for a long time. Why don't you tell our lucky listeners what they have won?
They have won Katrina Wyden from Paranormal State. Not the new Paranormal State, the original. Classic Paranormal State classic.
Yes, Paranormal yes. State classic. You know, and I will admit, and I know it's kind of unpopular with a lot of people, but I actually like the show. I've watched it on numerous occasions, and I thought the show was great, and I thought that they brought a real element, you know, with like actually helping people and not just knocking on their door and saying hi. We're you know. So
we're here to help.
Love that. You know, it's so funny because the missus, man, she always like, she used to make fun of that all the time. Or at the end of the show, where it's like the buddy bump on the fist. It's like, God.
It's a formula, Rick.
It is a formula.
We could probably benefit from a formula on this radio show because then people would know what to expect.
Exactly. Well, that's why I do that. You know, it is Thursday night, and if you can hear my voice, you're exactly where you need to be. So that's exactly why I do that. So, Karen, earlier this week, I posted a video on my Facebook page. If anybody's interested, you can find me at Facebook, Rick Hale, at Facebook.com. And it was one of the most infamous videos that is on the web. And it's, I mean, this thing has got like 25 gazillion hits.
Oh, right, right, right.
Right, I almost said the alien in the cupboard. Thank you, Stan Romanek. No, the ghost in the cupboard. Now,
the pantry ghost.
The pantry ghost. I mean, obviously you've seen this because you know we were playing like Fact and Fake, the Home Edition on my page with that one, and
yeah.
So you've seen it. I mean, what is your take on this video?
Well, so here's the deal. I look at that video, and for people who don't know what we're talking about, the Pantry Ghost is probably one of the most well-known YouTube videos of a ghost. And it's a glass-doored pantry, and it opens itself, and then, like, this face and hands appear in the glass. So that's all well and good, but
it's pretty spooky when you look at it.
Yeah, but I swear I see legs underneath the glass. So I think it's a very well edited and slickly produced video, but I don't think it's real because there's a follow up to that video as well.
Right.
And the follow up, the guy says day 10, like anybody's going to let some stranger come sit in their house for 10 days to wait to see their pantry door open while their family sleeps. I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Now, you know, when I remember the first time I saw this video. And of course, there were three of them. You know, the one that I posted on my Facebook page was the second one. And now here's the interesting thing, and this is why I think it's fake. When you look at the videos from when the door opens, from the first, second, and third one, now this is all supposed to have been done in one night, correct?
Right.
Okay. So there are a couple of boxes of food that are in this pantry that have either been changed out or they've been moved somehow. So
the first, second, and third aren't all in the same night. One is the same. I mean, but the one video, each video is supposed to be its own night.
Okay. You know what? I'm sorry. You're right. That's what I meant.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seemed that every time that the door opened, there was something different about the boxes of food that were sitting on the shelves, like the dry goods.
Mm-hmm.
And I couldn't really just place my, you know, really, you know, think of what it was, but it's like, yeah, it almost seems like it is a deliberate fake.
Yeah. And one time the pantry is completely empty And I will tell you, my pantry has never been completely empty because those black-eyed peas that nobody ever wants have been
Wait a minute,
that
are
show.
We talking about the group or the...
Yes, Fergie is on my pantry shelf as we speak.
Okay, all right. I'm coming over to your house.
You have that canned food that nobody ever wants, those couple cans of food.
Right.
And, of course, I live with Techie McScience survivalist geek. Mm-hmm. So he's not just a science geek, he's also a survivalist geek. So we have like zillions of cans of canned food anyway, but the pantry is completely bare in one of the videos as well.
Right. And, you know, but what I want to know is the ghost itself. I mean, it's so clever. It's so creepy and it's so well done. But
it would be really easy to have someone press their face up. And I mean, you know, I can make things appear and disappear. I can make things fade in and fade out with clever editing.
Right.
Editing software is so sophisticated. And of course, this is from a few years ago, but still, editing software has been sophisticated for quite some time.
Yeah, I mean, I can make my grandmother look like a zombie in a photograph or video, you know, just by, you know, Photoshop or whatever. But, actually she is a zombie, but that's a different thing altogether. Anyways, and now a couple days ago, I did put another video on my, now I'm going to start doing this because I want to get people's take on, you know, videos. Cause I have a lot of like friends and stuff like Ken Gerhardt is a big one on my page. And, you know, I put one on there about the Duende or the sinister gnome that apparently haunts like Guatemala and Brazil and whatever. And I put that video on there where it shows like a bunch of people, they're standing around and all of a sudden like this little gnomish guy kind of walks, you know, he walks across the screen and it's really funny. And my sister-in-law is correct. I mean, she honestly thought that was like a really clever Travelocity video. But, you know, Ken Gerhardt was like, no, I don't think it's a Travelocity video, but it is something strange. So,
yeah,
no, I don't know. You know, but it's definitely something very odd.
Well, I tend to be really skeptical, honestly, about anything that's posted on YouTube. I mean, sure. You know, here's the thing. I'm going to always be skeptical. Yes.
Skeptical.
I'm always going to be skeptical about pretty much evidence that I haven't captured or somebody I know and trust hasn't captured. That's the nature of the beast. That doesn't mean that I'm going to always think that everybody's a freaking liar. But at the same time, you have to view those things with a healthy skepticism, in my humble opinion.
Well, no, you're absolutely right. There is nothing wrong with skepticism. But if there's one thing that I have noticed, and I'm sure you've noticed it too, with the, you know, this new generation of, you know, ghost hunters, paranormal investigators, thrill seekers, whatever you want to call them, they seem to be really heavily skeptical on any video or photo that is like crystal clear.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if it's crystal clear, it must be fake. But if it's fuzzy as hell, then hey, you know, it's probably
real. Yeah. Right. No, the fuzzy ones are even worse. You know, the other thing is that the other reason that I tend to be really skeptical if it's not captured by somebody I know and trust is that everybody thinks that the paranormal is going to make them freaking famous.
Oh yes.
And so they're looking for that video or I mean, I know people who know people. Mm-hmm. I know people who know people who know people. No, I know people who know people who have faked.
Yes.
And I've had people tell me so-and-so admitted to faking this, so-and-so admitted to faking that. And I can't understand that because to me, what's more important than being famous, being well-known or anything else is being credible and having credible evidence.
Correct.
But, you know, that's not everybody's goal, and I have to understand that that's the way that the world works sometimes.
Right. But you know what? If you want to be famous and have a really awesome YouTube video, you know what, that's going to get 20 gazillion hits, just have your buddy drop a flaming bowling ball on your crotch. You know what I'm saying? That will definitely make you famous and very, very stupid.
It gets you on Tosh.0.
And that's what it's all about, Tosh.0.
That's what it's all about. That's right. I could be the Numa Numa kid. There you go. Isn't that what that sign is? The Numa Numa? Isn't that what
the
it
Numa
is?
The Numa Numa kid, yeah.
Yeah, you know, what's funny is I don't, I know that my son and his friends spend hours watching YouTube videos and digging through YouTube videos.
And I do too.
You know, I actually don't. I only follow links that the people give me. I've never spent any time on YouTube searching for things to watch.
Right. Well, so, you know, Saturday nights, I got to get myself back into the train of, you know, I got to go back to work, you know, Sunday night. So it's like I pull like an all-nighter. So basically, I sit up all night down in the basement in front of my computer just looking up YouTube video after YouTube video after YouTube video, and just some of them are just hilarious. So, and, you know, some of them are great, too, you know.
Yeah.
Oh, what is it? Rap Battle History on YouTube. I'm going to have to check that out.
I'll have to look that up. So, hey, this weekend, I'm ready. I'm switching from YouTube. So this weekend, big happenings here. My friend William Becker, who's been on the show.
Yes, great guy.
Yes. He does the tours of Oregon City, the ghost tours. And this weekend on Friday and Saturday nights, he's having the winter solstice, S-O-U-L-S-T-I-C-E. Mm-hmm. Get it? Uh-huh. Ghost tours.
I got it.
Yeah, ghost tours in Oregon City. So if you contact William, and I'm going to have to come back with that contact information in a few minutes, but it's Para Insights on Facebook. If you contact William through Facebook, Para Insights, then you can sign up for these tours. And it's a couple hours, and it's a lot of really good history, and they get a lot of activity on those tours as well. So I've been, we haven't investigated in a few weeks. Our team lags kind of in December. We don't really do much in December. Mm-hmm. And so I've really been needing to get my ghost on. So
yeah, you know what? I'm trying to get, you know, this new thing started up with a couple of my friends, Foundations Paranormal Research. And I gotta be honest with you. I am really itching to get back out there in the field.
Mm-hmm. It's hard to be away from it, isn't it?
No, it really is. But you know what's been nice is that, you know, when I was with the other group, McHenry County Paranormal Research Group, it kind of expected a lot from you.
Yeah.
And you know what? It kind of caused some problems between me and the missus. And you know, and I'm glad I quit. You know, now I can do my own thing. So
yes, you can. So real quickly before we go to break, I thought in the spirit of the season, Cheryl, can you turn on your mic?
We're
gonna sing a Christmas carol. No, I'm totally kidding.
Oh my god.
I want to know because I've been.
Oh my god, the chat room just emptied.
Yeah.
I know, really. Like a toilet flush. And I want to know what you guys's. And if Chad has his headphones on, he can pop in too, but I know he's muted or something. I want to know what your favorite Christmas movie is.
Mine? Oh, well, it's probably. Oh god, it's so tough. I mean, the classic, It's a Wonderful Life, is always a favorite for me. So that's one of them. And oh my god, you're gonna just die. You'll probably just be, I don't know, ashamed to be seen with me or heard with me here. But my other one,
15 dates of Christmas or something.
No, it's worse. It's far worse.
Okay. Oh my god, it's not that Matthew McConaughey movie, was it?
Hey now, back off, Matthew. Back off.
Oh,
no,
it's
Home Alone.
Oh, no, that's not bad.
Oh, okay.
My favorite is the Grinch cartoon.
Ah, okay. That's a good one.
I love
the
Grinch.
Well, if you're talking cartoons, Rudolph is always a good one.
So, do you know who sings? You know the song, You're a Mean One, Mr. Grinch?
Trivia? No.
Do you know who sings it?
No, who sings it?
Boris Karloff.
Yeah!
What? Is it really Boris Karloff that sings it?
Yeah, kidding? Boris Karloff.
That's crazy.
Nice. See, now I know that he talks for that, but I didn't know he actually sang.
Yeah, he sings that song, too. So, I mean, it's just a great, it's a wonderful Christmas movie. And I like It's a Wonderful Life, too. Rick, what's yours, Rick?
Passion of the Christ. No, I'm totally joking.
Oh, my gosh.
Easter.
I was like, are you serious?
That's any time.
Oh, no, actually, Black Friday. No, not Black Friday. Good Friday.
No, actually, I think my favorite is the classic Christmas Vacation.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like the vacation. We watched it the other night. I love that. And it was like, it came on, and I just got to watch this. But, of course, it's on regular television, so they have to completely bleep out everything where he loses it, after he doesn't get his, you know, his holiday thing. So
yeah. I like The Christmas Story, too, with at the end where they have the goose. They go to the Chinese restaurant, and they and I actually gave my dad, like, one of those leg lamps when you're So.
That's Chad's favorite, A Christmas Story. Own. That's a classic.
Yeah. What's Chad's favorite, Cheryl? If he's not on, do you know?
He already Skyped it. You just talked about it, A Christmas Story.
A Christmas Story?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, Scrooge.
So I just
remember Scrooge with Bill.
I just wanted to know what everybody's favorite was, but we need to go to break. When we come back, we're going to have Katrina Weidman. So you're listening to Paranormal Underground Radio on Z Talk Radio. We will be right back.
Stick around.
If you are a business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
Identification. You're listening to ZTalk Radio Network. Operating frequency on ztalkradio.com. The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of ZTalk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
And welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Right now, joining us on the phone, and for your listening pleasure, is Katrina Weidman. In case you guys don't know, Katrina Weidman was a member of the Penn State Paranormal Research Society, as well as a cast member of Paranormal State on A&E. And it'll be nice to, you know... Hello?
Hey, we're still running on the air, so just to let you know...
Okay.
So we're connecting back to Katrina, trying to.
We're going
to
try.
Internet started taking down.
Unfortunately, our internet has been spotty the last week. So, hi.
Hey guys.
Sorry about that. We're back.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah, bad internet connection.
Oh, okay.
bad timing. Go ahead,
so
you guys.
Rick was in the middle of a wonderful introduction. So anyway, welcome, Katrina Weidman. I wanted to ask you, since we were... doing this before you came on the air. You have a favorite Christmas movie, Katrina?
I do. Mm-hmm.
What is it?
Muppet's Christmas Carol.
Oh,
I was going to say that.
Good.
I love that one. It's my favorite.
I know you came up with that one, so that's very cool that you said that. So I wanted to ask you, because Rick, in his introduction, before we got cut off, was made a very big distinction, I felt, between... that being part of the paranormal research team and being a cast member of Paranormal State, is there a pretty good size distinction between those two things, or are they one and the same?
I mean, at the time of filming the show, there really wasn't that much of a difference. I mean, when the show started, we had a very big, you know, society of about 30 researchers or so, you know. But once we started filming, since we don't have a lot of time to do private investigations, and, you know, people were graduating and everything, that kind of dwindled. So at the time of filming, basically the society was who you saw on TV.
Okay.
So, that makes sense, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. You know, one thing that I like to ask, you know, when we have folks on the air, especially, you know, investigators or even people that, you know, are on, you know, television, whatever. What was it exactly that, you know, sparked your interest in the paranormal? Did you have like that one, like, oh, wow, kind of moment?
It was just always something that, you know, I had. I mean, I grew up in haunted houses and my mom's side of the family is very, very open to, you know, the paranormal. And they always had experiences and lived in haunted houses. And, you know, so it was just always, you know, a facet of my life. There was never a point where I didn't have it, you know, so I didn't have that, you know, I've met people that had that like one moment where they're like, what the crap was that? You know, yeah. And they, you know, they decided to start studying it and everything, but I never had that. It was just always there. It's always an interest.
Right. So, you get accepted to Penn State. Now, did you seek out Ryan Buell and his group right away, or, you know, did you kind of like get, you know, set your feelers out?
Yeah, basically what happened was I transferred to Penn State in 2004, and my aunt and I are pretty close, and, you know, she's very into the paranormal, and we were kind of talking about it one day, and, of course, 2004 is when Ghost Hunters was very, you know, just came out and was very popular, and she's like, well, you know, she's like, why don't you just look on campus to see if there's a club? She's like, maybe they have something like that there. If they don't, maybe you can start your own. And so I went online one day and I was kind of searching, and there, lo and behold, there was the Paranormal Research Society. So I signed up with them then. I dropped out after like two meetings. I went back in 2006. So I didn't know there was a club until I actually got up here.
Yeah, it really seems to be, you know, a very popular thing right now. I mean, I remember going back to the days where it was just, you know, I was, you know, kept and spooky with a camera, you know, but, you know, you know, nowadays there's like this, this major interest in, you know, all things of, you know, psychic manifestations, paranormal, yeah, whatever you want to call it, supernatural. You know, what do you think that is? Why exactly do you think that people have such an interest now?
I think, honestly, I think the media plays a huge part in it. And if you kind of watch the trend of the paranormal, there's always times, you know, the paranormal gets very, very hot for, you know, like a decade, and then it'll go away for a couple of years. It's almost like we're almost oversaturated with it. And I think that's partly what's happening now. You know, it's so heavily in the media now with all these shows. I mean, every network has a ghost show. Every network wants a ghost show if they don't already have one. And I think just because it's there, it's in people's faces, I think naturally a lot of people have a lot of curiosity about it. Sure. So I think it's kind of, it's not as taboo as it was 10 years ago. You know, so I think a lot of people are like, well, it's not so weird if I'm a ghost hunter every other Saturday night. You know, people don't give you that same eyebrow raise that they used to. So I think that's part of it. I also think another part of it is during times of war, I think people become very interested in the supernatural, and obviously we're still, you know, over in the Middle East, and I think, you know, with having death so close to home, I think a lot of people want to know what else is there. So if you kind of watch the trend of that, too, the paranormal usually becomes pretty hot during times of war.
Right.
So I think it's those two things coupled. I think probably, you know, another thing is, like, people are just becoming more spiritual. From what I notice, at least when I go to events and I meet people, you know, I find a lot of people are becoming more, like, open to new ideas and new age kind of things. So.
Right. Now, one of the main things about your show that I really liked, and it's because I'm an old-fashioned psychical researcher and investigator, I really liked that your show used psychic mediums.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's, you know, that's very important to somebody like myself because, you know, although I've worked, you know, met dozens of people over, you know, the last 25, 30 years who claim to be psychic, I can count on my hand three people who are that I've worked with that I, you know, that I do believe have a legitimate gift. But, you know, on the show, you guys worked with some amazing psychic mediums, Chip Coffee, for example, Michelle Bellinger. Mm-hmm. And now for you, do you do you believe in, you know, using psychics in your own investigation, or was that just something primarily that was on the show?
No, I mean, PRS has always, you know, explored, you know, using psychics in research, because, I mean, they're a part of the paranormal. You can't, I don't really think you can have a society and ignore the fact that there's people out there claiming to be psychic.
Sure.
You know, if you're really a research society, you have to research everything that's out there. And so that was always something that was practiced in PRS. And as far as the show, we're only there for 3 days. You know, it's 3 to 4 days. It's not a long investigation that we would normally be able to have. So a psychic definitely helps. And it's funny that you say, you know, you've met all these people, but there's only maybe three that you've met that are psychic. And I completely agree with you. And when I have groups or investigators ask me, you know, if they should use psychics, I just think, you know, you have to be very, very careful with whoever you're using.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, especially when you're working with clients will grab on to every single word a psychic says and take it as, you know, it's gospel. This is
the I have noticed that, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And it makes our job very, very hard. We've had a bunch of clients that, you know, we're trying to help them. We're trying to give them rational thoughts for everything going on and trying to explain the things that we can't explain, you know, our theories that we think might be happening. And then we bring in a psychic and they meet our client, and all the work we've done for 3 days goes out the window.
Sure.
You know, so I always caution groups when you're working with a psychic, you know, just be careful because it can destroy a lot of the work you're doing.
Right. One of the psychics that I work with, name's Nancy Laporta. She's a real close friend of mine, and she's actually the one who taught me how to believe again. And, you know, and I could not agree more that if you're going to say that you're a paranormal group, you really do need to study that, all that facets there. Robin Marie, who is she's a regular on our show. She's a frequent flyer and she's a real good friend. She says that if you're going to say you believe in ghosts, but you don't believe in people that can bridge that gap between the living and the dead, you're being more or less disingenuous. So,
Right. I absolutely completely agree with that. And I think, you know, there has been so many researchers at universities that have studied, you know, psychical research, and they've come up with some pretty interesting results. And I've had experiences with that kind of stuff myself. So I agree with you. Like, I don't think, I mean, if you're studying this stuff, you can't just turn your back because you don't necessarily believe that one part.
Right.
You know, so.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought Karen was... Karen, are you there? Oh, sorry about that. Sorry, Katrina.
Okay.
I thought I heard Karen, but I thought I heard her breathe. Yeah, another thing that I thought was really interesting on the show is that... and it's actually very controversial with some people, from what I understand, that religion, especially with Christianity, played like a huge part. Now, from what I've read about Ryan, that he is a very devout Catholic. And so, I mean, I think it would only stand to reason that you would bring that kind of an element in there. Now, did you guys ever have any problems with people that were like, you know, I don't want any kind of religion, or you ever have any like the atheists or whatever that's like, you know what, I don't believe in God, but I got this weird stuff that's happening in my joint?
Absolutely. And that's kind of a misconception about what PRS did and about Paranormal State. PRS is a research society. They go based off of what the clients want. So if the clients are Jewish and they want some sort of ritual done, we'll bring in a rabbi. You know, if they're Catholic and they want a ritual done or they want religion brought into it, you know, we'll bring in a priest. If they're atheists, they don't want anything, that's fine too. You know, it's all about what they want, because at the end of the day, it's what they believe, and that's going to be the most powerful thing.
Sure.
You know, we never force our views on anybody. There's been, you know, a couple times where, you know, we've tried certain things within their religion and it's not working, and the clients are like, is there anything else we can do? And then that's when we'll, you know, suggest some other things that might work. Elfie has done, you know, a bunch of, you know, binding rituals in certain cases. But the clients were okay with that. You know, they wanted that. They wanted to try something different. There was one case where the spirit, we believed, was Hungarian. And something, you know, in that country that they believe in, and I can't remember exactly what it was, but basically to bind a spirit, you have to take a nail and hammer it into their grave. And then they can't come back and walk the earth anymore.
Right, the way to ward off vampires.
What's that?
It's also a way to ward off vampires. As
well. Yeah. But so, you know, the clients, they were Christian, and we've tried Christian rituals at their house, and it wasn't working. And so we tried this Hungarian method, and, you know, they had peace for about 4 to 5 months.
Right.
So it didn't work forever, but, you know, we always go based off of what the clients want. And I think, you know, when you're talking religion and the paranormal, I think it's the same thing. It's like, you can't ignore it. I mean, they're tied together.
Right.
You know, and it's the same thing as people who ignore the psychic aspect of the paranormal. You can't. All of this is involved. All of this is comes together as a package, you know. So I think that's why PRS always was okay with bringing that in.
Sure. Now, from what I understand, regular paranormal state is no longer on the air, correct?
Correct.
Okay. What do you think about this this new show that I know that when Rob Demarest, who, you know, sometimes I think is out for my job here on the show, and magazine, that I love you, Rob. But anyways, I forgot where I was even going with this.
You were asking about the new show.
About the new show, yeah. What do you think about this new show?
Are you talking about Paranormal State, the new class?
The new class, yes.
Oh, okay. Well, as far as I know, like, and you guys have to understand, we, at, like, as PRS, us as cast members, et cetera, we have nothing to do with that show. It's just the same production company. So I've never met them. I've never worked with them. And as far as I know, that show is no longer on air either. It was only 2 episodes.
Oh, wow.
So, and I could be wrong about that, but that's just from what I know, you know. So as far as I know, there is no more Paranormal State as an entity.
Well, you guys had to graduate at some point, right? You could.
I know, right? Well, we actually, what's funny about that is we all graduated pretty much right as the show was coming out, except for Heather. She was the only student. So, we're just like, can we change the openings of the show? And they're like, no, you can't do that. So finally, season 5, we got to change the opening. But
yeah,
I get emails about that all the time.
So now, are you still investigating then?
Mm-hmm, yeah. I am. I haven't done any private cases since the show ended. But, I mean, I go to events and everything, and I investigate there. I still keep in touch with a couple clients that, you know, will email. I actually just got an email from a previous client the other day asking, you know, what was going on and, like, what I thought of some photos that they got. So, I mean, I haven't done anything privately in a while, but publicly, yes.
So one of the things that you guys did that I liked was that you acknowledged that paranormal research, I'm sorry, I can't speak, that paranormal research might be about more than just ghosts and spirits.
Yeah.
And you guys did a UFO investigation show. So is that something that PRS would normally do, or was that for the show?
No, this was something, and, I mean, Ryan pushed very, very hard to make sure we did all those types of episodes, because that's what we would do normally as a society, as a research group. And the funny thing about it is we had amazing producers on our show. I'm not trying to knock them, but, you know, when you work in television and you have a formula that works and you know you're getting ratings and everybody's happy, it becomes very, very scary to then hear some, I mean, you know, we were children basically when the show started. We were all in our early 20s. And it becomes very scary when a bunch of kids are like, we want to do something completely different.
Right.
They kind of get really, really nervous. And so Ryan fought with them a lot to make sure we could still do episodes like Mothman and UFO and Jersey Devil. And, you know, our whole argument was, well, the paranormal encompasses all of this.
Right.
The paranormal doesn't mean ghosts. It means something science can't explain.
Right.
So
well, there must have
explore this.
There must have been tremendous pressure, though, because of when your show came out and what was popular, to be like Ghost Hunters or something like that, to be more along those lines.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I think there was, but, you know, our whole thing with Paranormal State was, and I get this question all the time, too, like, you know, why don't you guys have more evidence on your show? And we're like, well, our show was never about the evidence.
Yeah.
Our show is about the people and our clients and what we do as researchers. And you're not always going to get evidence. We didn't always turn out evidence. Sometimes we had crazy clients that there was nothing there. and they were, you know, blaming real world issues on the paranormal. There's all that kind of stuff that exists when you do this kind of work. And I think we were actually really lucky that our producers, I mean, Ryan had to fight a little bit on some things, but, you know, eventually we got the show we wanted, you know.
Well, when you were talking, that reminded me of a particular case that I want to ask you about, because it's always fascinated me. And I don't know the name of the show. I don't remember the name of the woman. It was a woman who was doing EVPs in her own house, and it increased the activity. Do you remember that? I'm sure it was you guys.
Was it, she was obsessed with them?
She was obsessed with the EVPs.
Okay. Yeah, that case was season one, and that was shot in, I believe, on Long Island. I actually wasn't on that case, but I do remember that case, and she was actually very upset that our investigation kind of turned more on helping her, like, kind of stop doing the EVPs rather than, you know, the ghostly activity. But the problem is when somebody's doing this stuff every day and it's taking over their lives, you know what I mean? It's not helping the situation.
Yeah. That was one of the cases that I saw that you guys had that for some reason really fascinated me because it was a little bit different. And I like those kinds of cases. So
I'm sorry, guys. I got cut off there. Are you talking about the Jersey Devil episode?
No. I was talking about the lady who was obsessed with doing EVPs in her own house, and it seemed like she caused some activity as a result.
Yeah, I like that one too. We had a question from Phil Summers in our chat room, you know, otherwise known as the Ghost Box Kid. He wanted to know what you thought of the old jail in South Carolina when you guys were there.
Oh my gosh! Well, first off, the old jail in South Carolina is beautiful. Mm-hmm. And as far as activity goes, I personally didn't get anything. Now, I wasn't there when they filmed the episode. I wasn't on that case, but we did go back for a field trip back in, November 2010, and I investigated then, and at that time, I didn't get anything. A few noises here and there, but, you know, you're also with a big group of people. It's an old, old building. You know, it could have been a lot of things, but, I mean, if anybody's down there, if anybody's curious about checking it out, I mean, I absolutely recommend it. There's some really cool history to that place.
So I have to tell you, I was in, I went and investigated a place a couple weeks after you guys did and shortly before the show about it aired. It was down in St. Helens, Oregon. What's it called? No, I can't remember.
The Klondike? Hello?
Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're having horrible problems.
So, yeah, it was the Klondike. That was a really fascinating place. And your exes were still all up and everything. And what was really interesting what was interesting is that there was some activity around where some of your exes were.
Oh, yeah. Well, we put our exes, when we put an ex, that means we need to put a camera in that area because that's a hot spot for activity.
Okay.
So what did you think of the Klondike? There's activity around them.
Yeah, what did you think of the Klondike?
I loved it. Again, a very old historical building. And what's funny is they cut this out of the episode. I was so mad that they cut this out of the episode. But there's a bunch of buildings on that street that are haunted. And we had a building owner approach us, and he said, you know, my building's haunted too. He's like, you know, do you guys want to come and take a look? And we're like, okay. And it's this old apartment building, and half of it's rented. The other half is completely empty, except for they have, like, squatters every now and again. And so, like, Sergi and I were like, well, we'll go check it out. And, you know, we were really nervous because Sergi and I, we also build each other up, and we're like, oh, what if there's, like, murderers living in there? Like, you know, we're, like, the two conspiracy theorists out of the group. And so eventually we go in after we build up our courage. And within the first 5 minutes of being in this building, we were having activity left and right. We had four very significant things happen. We kept hearing this banging on the floor. We were hearing heavy breathing, which we caught on film. And this is really weird. We heard banging in the wall. And even though Sergi was right behind me and the cameraman was right in front of me, I'm the only one that heard it. But all three of our cameras picked it up. And it was very, very loud to me. So we had some really interesting activity at that place. But, you know, I all had to get put on the cutting room floor, unfortunately. But very, very cool area to check out.
St. Helens is really neat. And, of course, they make a big deal because they've had a lot of paranormal type of movies filmed there as well, including Rick's mm-hmm. favorite, the Twilight series. So,
yeah.
Love them. Oh, my God. I just love them.
That's where Bella's house is. Did you drive, Katrina, did you drive down and stare at Bella's house?
No, we didn't. None of us were really Twilight fans. So
Neither are we. Neither are we. But yeah, so it's a really interesting place. But I didn't know about the place across the street. I know that there's quite a few haunted places in that town. It's kind of an old. There's a lot of old places there.
Yeah,
and of course, every place in the Pacific Northwest was once a brothel. So there you go.
Yeah, exactly.
So now, Katrina, when you guys do capture evidence, do you guys go over your own evidence, or do you have interns or whatever go over it for you?
No, it was always us. Usually Sergi and Josh had that horrible task of listening to all our audio. But I mean, we would split it up, you know, and during like season 5 and 6, like you saw some new trainees come in. Mm-hmm. On a couple episodes, and, you know, they would help us go over evidence and everything. But, I mean, for the majority of it, it was us, usually Ryan and Josh and Sergi. Mm-hmm.
So, do you have a favorite place?
A favorite place that I've been to? That's a really, really hard question.
I know, it's hard to pick, isn't it?
It is. It's a really, really hard one to pick. As far as activity goes, I'd probably have to say The Glove. If people remember those episodes, we had part 1 and 2. Very active house, awesome clients, very honest, very upfront, very easy to work with. And just the activity there is just crazy and always happening and always escalating. So as a researcher, I love that case because it's just, there's so much there to look into and kind of like dig your hands on and figure out what's going on. I don't know, as far as like location wise, I have to say Oregon, just because Oregon is beautiful and breathtaking, and I just really enjoyed being out there on the West Coast. So
it's pretty awesome out here, that's for sure. So I wanted to ask you about you did a case that you then later had to go back and revisit it with the teenage girl who mm-hmm. was apparently possessed. What can you tell me about that case? First of all, do you believe in possession?
Mm-hmm. Yes, I do.
Did you believe in possession before this case?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I don't think I can be a researcher and not believe, at least not be open-minded to...
Right.
Sure. All the aspects of the paranormal.
Right.
I don't know how you can be a researcher and do that.
Yeah.
I absolutely believe in it. And, you know, as far as that case goes, that case is a little more complicated than, you know, TV would have you believe. And we've spoken openly about this multiple times.
I'm so sorry.
That case is very complicated. I mean, and we get emails about it all the time, like, you know, was she really possessed? Because I got the feeling that something else was going on with her. Yeah. And, you know, we even addressed this on the show. We spoke to her psychologist, and there were definitely real-world issues going on with her.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing with that case, is that her other 3 family members who lived with her, her mom, dad, and brother, who are all very rational, very put-together people, mm-hmm. Check out clear psychologically, you know, they were all experiencing things with her. They mm-hmm. would see her have these blackouts and then start hissing and levitate. You know, they would see these scratch marks appear on her body in front of their own eyes.
But now,
you
I
know,
do,
so, I'm
I,
sorry.
I was just going to say, I do have a question about this because it's like, now, a lot of people seem to think that, you know, that a demon can attack you if you believe in demons. You know, that one can attack you at any moment, and it's always been my experience that you have to invite these things in. Did this girl invite whatever this inhuman entity was into her life, and how did she do it?
Yes, that's a really good point to bring up, too. I've met people that have gone in cases that don't believe this stuff, and something happens to them. So mm-hmm. I don't believe it's one of those things, you know, that we hear in movies all the time, it can only hurt you if you believe it. You know, I don't believe that. I think there's things in this world that we don't understand yet, and, you know, we have to kind of be aware of them, because it might, you know, it might attack you, or it might somehow pop in your house. And the thing with demons, and I don't claim to be a demonologist, but from my studies, you know, I'm working with people in the field, is that, you know, demons absolutely have to be invited in. Yes. And a lot of people believe that you're predestined to have this happen to you. So before you're born, you're chosen. And what's interesting about this case is that, this is not shown on, you know, the episode. This is a conversation I've had with the clients afterwards. On the first episode, Chip is our psychic. And at one point on the episode, he comes up with a list of demon names. There's six of them. And he's talking to Ryan outside, and he's saying, these are the names I got. And a lot of them, if you study demonology, you'll recognize the names. There was one of them on there that I had never heard of, and I can't remember it exactly. It's something like Jin Jin or Juju or something. Mm-hmm. And after that episode aired, I got a call from the mother. And she said, I have to tell you something that happened. I'm like, okay. She's like, well, we were watching the episode, and she's like, we saw the list of names that Chip gave to Ryan. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that last name, she's like, that Jin Jin name, she's like, we've heard it before. I'm like, oh, okay. And she's like, so, she's like, you know, we actually think it was Laura's imaginary friend when she was little. So they took out Laura's baby book, and as they're looking through it, wouldn't you know, they're writing about her imaginary friend named Jin Jin, and Laura would always describe this imaginary friend as having, like, a pointy tail and, like, red eyes and sharp teeth, and it would tell her to do bad things.
Okay, now if my kid Theo, the future world's greatest psychical researcher, comes to me one day, I think that I would definitely go and take him to see some kind of clergy. Now, my wife and my son, they're of a Catholic faith. I'm a Buddhist, but you know, I would definitely take him to see some kind of clergy, some kind of psychiatrist. It's like this needs to be dealt with immediately. Did they do anything like that where they were like, hey, we're going to take our daughter to see a shrink?
When she was little, no, not when she was little, as far as I know, because, I mean, I had imaginary friends when I was little, and I don't know, maybe my parents should have taken me to a psychologist, but, you know, I think I turned out okay.
Well, I'm not saying imaginary friends are bad. I'm saying imaginary friends with glowing red eyes and pointy tails now.
That's I don't think they did. I think because she had two other imaginary friends also, and, you know, I just think they thought they chalked it up to a kid's imagination. You know, it's also not like, you gotta think, let me see, Laura's probably in her early 30s, so we're talking, you know, the 80s here when she was a kid, and that, I don't think a lot of people thought that way back then. It was just, oh, imaginary friend, okay, you know, whatever, like, eat your breakfast, you know, and, you know, like, with today, I think people are like, huh, could this be something else, like, because it's so in our face right now that the paranormal is a possibility. You know, so no, back then they didn't. You know, obviously as she got older, she, you know, and we showed that on the show, she has a psychologist, and we consulted with him with her permission and everything. But as far as the invitation goes, Laura was messing around with some stuff, you know, as far as the paranormal goes.
Sure.
And, you know, it's funny, like, you know, I talk to a lot of people, and they're like, well, what does inviting something mean? Do you actually have to say, I invite you into my house? And it doesn't work that way. You can invite something in. I've met so many clients that something's messing with their kids, and they give up one night, and they're like, you know what? Mess with me. You leave my family alone. That's an invitation.
You can do a ritual, or you can play with something. Or Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, that case was very disturbing to watch.
Yeah,
it was actually really tough for me to watch. And I will tell you that I started out as a paranormal investigator saying, I do not believe in demons and possession. I have been on some cases since that time that I am starting to shift in a different direction for that. And you're absolutely right what you're talking about, that those cases, it's been where something has been inviting it in. So, yeah. So, hey, I wanted to ask you, we're going to go to break here in about 10 minutes. So I wanted to have you talk a little bit about your, I think that one of the things that a lot of new paranormal investigators don't understand is some of the intake type interview things that you do mm-hmm. with the client well before you ever go running around in the dark or the house yeah. or whatever yeah. with your flashlights and your meters yeah. and, you know, all of that. So can yeah. you talk about some of your intake methods? Because I know you guys are very thorough.
Oh, yes, yes, yes. I was for, let me see, since 2008, I was the gal they had to get through, you know, to talk to Ryan. And so I interviewed just about everyone that came on that show, you know, and, you know, hundreds of others that you never saw make it to TV. And, you know, our interview process, look at the email, and you got to sift through them. And after a while, you become a pretty good BS meter, you know. Mm-hmm. And then the ones that look good and legit, you know, you call them up, set up interviews with them. And the first interview is about 30, 45 minutes. And then, you know, you analyze it from there, talk to the team about it. Then you go into another interview, which is about an hour to 2 hours, depending on, you know, who you're talking to. And then from there, you know, another meeting with the team. And then from there, you actually go out in person and meet them and interview them. And that takes, you know, all day, you know, because you're interviewing them, you're interviewing any witnesses they have, you're interviewing family members. I've gone out and it's, you know, to meet people in person, it's taken 2 or 3 days,
mm-hmm.
you know, to wow. get all that done. So we're very, very cautious about who, you know, we've taken as clients. And especially for the show, I wasn't a part of PRS before the show, but especially for the show, just from talking to Ryan and everybody, who's a part of the team, like how their methods have differed from before to after the show. From my understanding, it's very, very thorough on the show because you don't want to put, there's a lot of people that just contact us because they want to be on TV.
Right.
And there's a lot of people yes. who contact us because they want to marry Ryan and have his babies. Like, you know what I mean? And it's just, you know, so
I have that same problem.
Yeah.
you want to marry Ryan and cautious. Have his babies too, Rick?
I can hook you up. I mean, I'm just saying. but yeah, I mean, we were very thorough. We were very cautious with our clients. You know, and I agree with you. I meet a lot of, you know, teams that they just don't do that. And then I get these emails about, you know, oh, my client's crazy. What do I do? And I'm like, well, do you like interview them before you went? Like, you know, so.
Can you give some examples of the types of questions that you ask during screening? Because I know some of the stuff we ask is actually like we almost should sign one of those HIPAA forms that we're not going to reveal. Oh, right. Because some of it is so private.
Yeah, and we do, I mean, you know, we ask a lot of private questions of our clients. And, I mean, we go into their medical history, physical and mentally. We go into any, if they've ever had problems with drugs or alcohol, you know, we'll talk in depth about that.
You guys used to keep a psychiatrist or a psychologist on staff, didn't you? I remember in the early episodes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, in season one, we had Jamie Hernandez. And she's an awesome, awesome lady. And she was on staff pretty much full time. She was pretty much with us on every episode. And then, you know, after that, she had a baby, so she had to leave. And then we would just bring in a psychologist when we needed it. And that's the thing, too. Like, I mean, that's why our interviews are so important, because when you're talking to these people, you're doing these interviews at length, you kind of get an understanding, do we need a psychologist on this one, or can we leave them at home? Mm-hmm. You know, because right. then... investigators will agree with this too. The less people you have on a case, the better.
Right.
Exactly. You know?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Well, so let's do this. Can you stick around for another segment with us?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so we'll go to break. And when we come back, we'll have some more questions. So you're listening to Katrina Weidman on from Paranormal State and Paranormal, is it Paranormal Research Society? Is that what the...
Oh, yeah, I'm the Paranormal Research Society.
Yeah, and Paranormal Research Society. This is Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. We will be right back.
If you are a small business owner, you are paying too much for products and services. Do not spend your hard-earned cash on items you can get on trade. UTXTrade.com was formed specifically so you can trade your products or services with other companies on the network for items like advertising, computer repair, office furniture, printing, hotel stays, and much more. For more information, please visit UTXTrade.com. That's UTXTrade.com, a proud sponsor of Paranormal League of America.
Hi, this is Karen Frazier, author of Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, a new book from Ghost Night Media. In summer of 2009, I visited Wellington, Washington, a former railroad town in the Cascade Mountains of Washington State, where the worst avalanche disaster in the history of the United States occurred. 96 people lost their lives. What I found there changed my life forever. Before I visited Wellington, I wasn't sure that I believed in ghosts or even in the human soul. Now I know for sure that ghosts are real and that our souls go on after we die. You can read all about my experiences at Wellington in my new book, Avalanche of Spirits, The Ghosts of Wellington, which is on sale at Amazon.com. To learn more, visit avalancheofspirits.com. Hi everyone, it's Karen Frazier at Paranormal Underground.
And I'm Rick Hale, Paranormal Underground writer.
We're here to invite you to explore the unexplained with Paranormal Underground Radio, live and on the air.
Join us every Thursday night for paranormal talk and great guests from 9 to 11 p.m. Eastern Time on ztalkradio.com.
Hi, I'm Chad Wilson, publisher and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
And I'm Cheryl Knight, editor-in-chief and co-founder of Paranormal Underground Magazine.
Every month, Paranormal Underground explores the unexplained with a free monthly online magazine.
We take an in-depth look at all kinds of unexplained phenomena, talk with some of the field's top experts, and share the latest news and information about the paranormal.
Visit us at ParanormalUnderground.net, where you can read the magazine online, explore our paranormal evidence galleries, watch videos, participate in discussions, or read blogs with some of our writers and editors.
We hope you'll join us. Visit ParanormalUnderground.net and explore the unexplained. Do you want to keep up with what's going on at Paranormal Underground?
Then tweet us on Twitter at Paranormal UG.
Or follow us on Facebook at Paranormal Underground.
Meet us on MySpace, Paranormal Underground.
There's no need to be in the dark about what's going on at Paranormal Underground. Join us on your favorite social networking site today.
The views expressed and opinions given by the individual hosts and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Z-Talk Radio, its affiliates, or sponsors.
Hey, welcome back to Paranormal Underground Radio at ztalkradio.com. Still joining us tonight is Katrina Weidman, formerly of the show Paranormal State. And, you know, thanks for sticking around for like another half an hour, Katrina.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
That's right. And if everybody else sticks around, Katrina has mentioned that she's got a little hint of what's to come for her. So we're going to do that towards the end of the show, though.
Wait for it.
we're going to make
them exclusive.
We're going to make them wait. So, Katrina, I was just telling you at the break that you work with two people that fascinate me. One I just absolutely adore, and that's Chip Coffee. So tell me about Chip. Is he just as awesome as he seems?
Chip is awesome. We used to call him Uncle Chip. And what's awesome about Chip is this, he's probably the funniest person you'll ever meet in your life. He has outrageous things to say all the time. And he's just, I don't know, he's very like homey, like he's very comforting to have around. Me, Ryan, and Sergi and Chip went to the Sundance Festival a couple years ago, and we all shared a condo. And, you know, Chip is waking us up at 8 o'clock in the morning. He's like, you kids better get up. He's like, I made you breakfast. Like, we're like, oh, thanks, Chip. So he's an absolute doll, you know, and working with Chip was always a blast. He's really, really good at the darker cases. I kind of feel like he was always spot on with those cases.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oops. Oh, there's an echo. That's weird.
Yeah, I'm hearing that, too. Mm-hmm.
Okay, sorry about that. Yeah, he had his own show, too, that I really liked.
That was a great show with the kids.
Yeah, dealing with kids who have, you know, psychic ability. Because I work with children, and I've actually worked with a couple of kids in the past, you know, over the 11 years that I would say that probably do have some intuitive ability. That something that was, like, really passionate for Chip, is helping these kids out that have some kind of mediumistic or psychic ability?
I mean, I don't want to speak for Chip, but sure, I can tell you from working with him is that, you know, Chip connects with children very, very well. Children just, like, open up around him. And I think it's because he is very homey and, like, warm and inviting.
Mr. Rogers, psychic medium.
Yeah, basically, you know, and he's just, I mean, you're around him and you just want to tell him your whole life story. That's how Chip is. He just feels very comforting. And so, you know, from what I understand, you know, people picked up on that watching that at home, and that's kind of how the opportunity came to him. You know, well, what about, you know, your own thing? So, you know, Chip is very, very, very good with children.
Yeah. Yeah. I think he's great. So the other person I wanted to ask you about is somebody that I've never really known what to think about. I have a lot of respect for what Lorraine and Ed Warren have done as far as advancing the field and their research and that type of thing. So tell me about Lorraine Warren.
Lorraine is awesome. Lorraine is our grandmother. We all call her that. And,
she's awfully, and she's kind of cute. She's awfully adorable.
Yeah, she's awesome. And, Heather and I are actually going to go up and see her in a couple months. And Heather actually texted me the other day. She's like, well, they filmed Jerry Springer in Connecticut. Do you think Lorraine would want to go with us? And I'm like,
Jerry.
Yeah, I don't know. I can't see Lorraine Warren in there.
She's going to have to throw a chair at somebody.
She'll surprise you, though. I mean, Lorraine, what's cool about Lorraine is, I mean, we're all in our 20s, you know, and we'd be out investigating. It's like, you know, 2, 3 a.m., and there's still more work to get done. And we're all like, man, maybe we should just call it a night, save it for tomorrow. And Lorraine's there in her cute little skirts and, you know, heels, and she's like, oh, no. She's like, come on, we're doing this, kids. You know, she had way more energy than we ever did. And she's a blast to have around because, I mean, she's just such a wealth of knowledge about all this stuff. And I know there's controversy with the Warrens, whether or not you believe them or not, it's like you said, they have advanced the field. And yes, they were a primary factor why we even have field today. And, you know, she has been on all these amazing cases that have existed throughout the decades. And just to have her around and to have her experience, you know, when you're working on a case, it's, I can't think of anything that would even compare to that. It's an absolute gift to work with Lorraine.
Great. One of the favorite books that I have is The Haunted, where the Warrens were dealing with the Smurl poltergeist or demon, you know, whichever way you would like to look at it. And it just amazed me that no matter how much skepticism or cynicism came their way, I know they had a real big problem with the not so amazing Randy, but
who doesn't?
They always took it with grace. You know what I'm saying? They always took it that, you know, we are here to help these people and we don't care what the media says or we don't care about being famous. We're kind of missing some of that nowadays. I think the whole idea of helping people.
And the whole humility thing.
And the
absolutely. And we talk about this all the time. It's weird because the paranormal community is fairly small.
Yes.
You know, and unfortunately, there's a lot of drama that goes on in this field.
Yes.
And there's a lot of cattiness that goes on in the field.
Yes.
And I think a lot of it is because people are just fighting for camera time. It's horrible as that sounds, but, you know, we've had our run-ins with, you know, I've had run-ins with people that it's just very obvious the only reason they're trying to be nice to you is, like, you know, to try to get a spot on the TV show or, you know, try to hook up with your producers or your network. And it's just, it's so weird to me. Like, I understand it, but it's also, I'm like, you know, what about actually advancing this field? What about the research? What about the clients? What about all these factors why we should be involved in the field to begin with?
Katrina, I cannot tell you how much I love you saying that.
Yeah,
that's amazing, especially from somebody who is you know, you're relatively newer to the field. So thank you very much for saying that. That's great.
Well, and the other thing is that I think that the recognition arises from actually making, or should arise. And of course, you know, there's all sorts of things that should happen in this world that don't. But I truly believe that recognition should arise from actually doing something that makes a difference.
I agree with you.
You know, and not just running around and, you know, pretending that you're some Zach Bagans so you can get a TV show. And, you know, I know a lot of, and I actually like Zach and think he's a pretty genuine guy and genuine and enthusiastic about what he does. But I know and have met a lot of people who want to be Zach Bagans. And they're just, all they do is they run onto some site and they, what are you trying to get me? And it's just, you know, and they're the ones that want the recognition but don't deserve it. And that's tough to see. So,
yeah.
Yeah. Hey, as I was talking, this image flashed into my head, and so I have to ask you about it. Okay. It's an image of Ryan with ping pong balls on his eyes. Would you please explain that to me?
That would be the Gonsfeld experiment. And for anybody who's not familiar with that, it's an experiment where you basically taper off all your senses. So no sight, no sound. And, you know, the whole theory behind it is it's supposed to heighten your sixth sense. So, you know, it's kind of the same thing with, you know, people who are blind. They have a better sense of hearing or a better sense of taste. It's right. The same theory as that, you know. So, you know, we've done that on a lot of cases with pretty good success. And so, you know, Ryan, he's obviously tried it a bunch of times, and we put the ping pong balls on there because we're probably out of blindfolds and missing blindfolds. So, you know, we had to figure out some way to cover his eyes.
I just imagined you guys all thinking, okay, now what would be the thing that we could stick on his eyes so he can't see to make him look as stupid as humanly possible?
Right. So, yeah. It's a good day to play a prank on the boss, you know?
That's right. That image is burned into my mind. I tell you. So it's called the Gonsfeld experiment.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So when he is, when he's got those headphones on and he's got the ping pong balls or the blindfold or whatever it is, so is he then seeing things in his head? Because how does he then shut off his brain as well?
Yeah, I've actually never done the Gonsfeld. I have begged Josh and Sergi to let me do that for years, and I still haven't done it. So from my understanding of talking to people who have done it in the group, and we'll do it on field trips also with our mm-hmm. attendees, it's like any images you would think of in your head. Like you just start seeing images.
Oh, I get that. Yeah, okay. I do that now. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, so.
All right, well, that makes sense. Okay, another question. Do you guys really do dead time, and do you really do it at 3 a.m.?
Dead time. We get asked this a lot. Dead time is not always done at 3 a.m. 3 a.m., the whole thing with that is it's the Antichrist hour. It's supposed to be the most powerful hour for, you know, the supernatural to connect with our world. Sure. So that's the whole meaning behind 3 a.m. Excuse me. Dead time, we do dead time based off of the client's, you know, testimony. So if the client says, you know, every night, 12 a.m. on the dot, activity happens. We'll start dead time around 11:30, you know, and go until we feel we should go until. If they're saying, oh, you know, dead time happens at 9 p.m., or, you know, activity happens at 9 p.m., we'll do dead time at 9 p.m. And sometimes it's just, you know, we'll do it really late because we're doing interviews all day, and we're running around talking to neighbors, and we're running around talking to experts, and that takes up a lot of time. You know, and plus you have a crew that has to eat, you know, 6 hours into filming. So you have to take breaks for all of that. So sometimes dead time doesn't happen until later just for, you know, logistics. But it got the rap of having 3 a.m., I think, because we've talked about this, too, before, that I think it was an editing problem where the editors in California didn't realize that we were having it at different times. So when they're putting the little caption on,
yeah,
they're just throwing in a 3 a.m.
It always says dead time.
They didn't know. They're not on set with us, you know.
Okay, so, well, that clears that up. There you go, everybody.
Katrina, there is one thing, you know, that I would like to ask, and
sure.
You know, in the past we've been, you know, we've been accused of throwing softballs at people. About a year or two ago, there was this letter that was sent from a former client, and they had pretty much like a laundry list of complaints.
Mostly about Ryan,
and that Chip,
that.
And, right, and Chip, he knew about the investigation prior that, you know, Ryan had filled him in on everything, and that, you know, everybody was terribly rude, that there was drinking alcohol that was going on during the shoot, people eating, swearing around the kids. I'm not really certain which case this, you know,
went back and watched the case, and those people walked you out and hugged you and thanked you and were in tears. So what the heck was that all?
It was an absolute
curveball to us too, because when we were leaving that case, they invited us back.
Yeah.
They're like, come back, hang out with us, we'll have parties. Like, what happened there, and we've spoken about this before too, And we knew this going into the case, that she was not the most stable person.
Okay.
I'm not saying she's, like, crazy, like, clinically crazy. I'm not saying that about her at all. But she was very colorful. Okay. Probably the nicest way I can put it. And she claimed to be psychic. And that's always a red flag for us, too, when clients are like, I'm psychic. Because we're just like, all right. Like, 'cause it's as you said, you don't really meet that many legit psychics, you know, unfortunately. So, you know, that was a concern for us. We go there. We do the investigation. There was no alcohol consumption. What that was about was the ghost that we believed was haunting our house was apparently an alcoholic at some point. Or he loved beer. He was like an avid beer drinker, not necessarily an alcoholic. Mm-hmm. And so something we play around with a lot is if we bring in elements that a ghost, you know, as they were living, things they loved in life. Okay, let's introduce this to the mix, see if it brings anything up.
Trigger objects.
I'm sorry?
Trigger objects.
Right, exactly. So something that was brought in was, as crazy as it sounds, a six-pack of beer. And so they just put it in the house to see if it had any effect on anything. And so that's what that was about. We are very strict on, like, drugs and alcohol consumption. Like, nobody, we have a clause, like, you can't have alcohol 24 hours before an investigation. You know, that it's just, we would never do that. Ryan would never, ever allow that to happen. As far as Chip knowing things beforehand, I know personally, you know, Ryan would never, ever allow that to happen. None of us would allow that to happen. If that ever happened, Chip would have been gone. And of course, he didn't do anything like that because he stayed with us for how many seasons, you know? So it's just that whole thing. I don't know what her deal was. That all came out of left field for every single one of us, too.
Yeah.
It was just, you know, it's, unfortunately, I think it's just somebody looking for attention, looking for their 15 minutes of fame, looking to bring us down for whatever reason, you know? And unfortunately, there's just people in the world that are like that, you know?
Yeah, no. And it was so bizarre because the end of that episode, you watch that, and it's like, oh, they just love these people.
Oh, yeah, they were like, these people in the world.
Yeah. She gave me a gift when I left. She was giving us gifts.
It was a pre-apology.
Yeah, right? Yeah, so it was very, very odd. But, I mean, people are going to do what they do, and, you know, she's got to live with that. I don't, you know, so.
Yeah.
What about the episode with Shannon Sylvia? Now, I know that was Shannon Sylvia.
Shannon's a good friend of the magazine. So we've actually asked Shannon about this many times. And Shannon's just like, so what? No big deal.
Yeah.
Like, nobody ever understood why that was such a huge controversy. And I think it's because the paranormal field's a bunch of drama queens. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean,
now I've offended everyone.
Well, And the only reason I ask it is because, yeah, you know, people did have a problem with it. And, you know, Shannon, she did speak. How did you feel about going into, you know, a person that's been in the field for many, many years? You know, how was it, you know, investigating with the Sylvias?
Oh, no, that was a great case. I mean, and the Sylvias are great. I just actually hung out with Shannon and Jeff at Fort Mifflin back in October. You know, definitely consider them friends. You know, and investigating their house, I mean, we got evidence at their house. And, you know, and the funny thing is people did have a problem with that. And they're like, why wasn't it ever on the episode that she was a paranormal investigator? What's up with that? And the thing is, Shannon told us all the time. It just never made it to the episode, you know. So Shannon was never, she never hid that from us or anything. I mean, she was very upfront, like, I'm an investigator here in New England.
Okay.
And it was nice working with an investigator because she had taken all the steps that we would normally ask somebody to already do. Like she had, you know, her story down about when things happened, where they occurred, who was a witness to it. So it was very easy for us then to, you know, try to track down witnesses and to talk to them. And, you know, she had done a lot of, you know, historical research on the place herself. So that was nice because all that stuff was already there for us, you know.
Right.
Right.
I thought it was one of the more sadder ones. I know that whenever I've done an investigation when there's children spirits involved,
mm-hmm.
That is, it's heartbreaking.
They kill me. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, did you guys deal with that a lot on the show, where it was like, man, you're dealing with these children, and these children are dead and they're gone, but they're still inhabiting this place. You know, it's heartbreaking. Did you guys have to deal with that a lot?
I would say a fair amount. I mean, it wasn't like every case, you know, maybe, I don't know, one out of every three or four. And it's definitely sad. I think the saddest one we ever had was a case we called the anniversary. Mm. And we believe the spirit was a young girl who was murdered 100 years ago. She was actually raped and murdered when she was, I believe, 10, if I'm not mistaken on that. And that was a sad one because it's just, you know, the way she died, so horrible and just, you know, unforgivable.
Yeah.
But I mean, you know, at the end of the day, I mean, we can never guarantee somebody that we can move a spirit on, you know, we can never guarantee that. So I think even though it's like heartbreaking and sad to be involved in those cases, you really like, for me, at least, I got to push it out of my mind and be there for the people who are actually still alive.
Right.
And who I know I can help. In some way.
You know? I think that's a great philosophy.
But you also bring up another point that's really controversial in the field right now is helping spirits move on to you know, wherever it is that they need to be. You know, I know that I've worked with people who are, you know, Christians are like, you know, trying to move them on to heaven. Me, I just want to see them move on to their next incarnation, you know, through reincarnation or whatever. But now, what is the PRS's or even your personal stance on, you know, do you go in and be on a crusade and help ghosts move on or, you know, or just leave it alone?
For us as a group, when, you know, we were doing, you know, paranormal state and everything, it was whatever the client wanted. We've had clients that said, we don't care. We don't mind it being here. Please don't do anything. Okay. And we go with what they want because ultimately it's their house, you know, and even though we're not paid to go in there, I mean, we're kind of hired to go in and help them, you know, so it's whatever makes them comfortable is what we'll do. If they want it removed, it's kind of what I said earlier, like we'll try things, but we never go into a place guaranteeing. And this is the scariest thing for me. I've met so many people that guarantee that they can do this stuff.
Oh, isn't it?
And they charge people for it. I'm just like, I don't understand how that works. Like, you know, because for instance, there was one case we had where there was a psychic who claimed that she could move spirits on. And I'm not saying I don't believe that people can do that. It's not something tangible. So how do you charge for that? You know, and I'm sure people will argue with me, well, doctors charge and psychologists charge. Yeah. Okay, well, those are fields that have science behind them. You know, we don't really have that yet, you know. There's this one case where, you know, this woman, she was a psychic. She claims she can move spirits on. And she's like, but I don't charge. However, she took donations. And she went into that house 28 times.
Holy cow.
To move the spirit.
And still taking donations, right?
Still taking donations.
Mm, okay, so basically the same thing as charging.
So, okay, I wanted to, I know that this is probably a question better for Ryan, but he's not here and you are. So you might be able to answer this. Throughout the series, there seems to be an implication that Ryan had kind of a personal battle with a certain entity that was always coming for him. So what's that about?
That was about, and I can speak about this. Ryan has spoken about this openly many, many times.
Okay.
That was kind of just a misconception. And here's the thing with demons, you know, they're a network. So you work with one, they all know you. That's how they work. There's no time, there's no place that, you know, they can transcend all that. So what was happening at that time was we had a case in middle of Pennsylvania that didn't really have any signs of being darker or demonic, you know, before we went in there. So we go into that case, and as we're doing more research, as we're having more interviews, as we're having more experiences, we start to realize things weren't what they appeared to be. And it turned into a dark case where one name kept coming up. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Ryan sent Heather and I back to the hotel. We weren't allowed to be on that case anymore. And the very next case that we had right after that was dealing with the same name, the same demon.
Right.
And so I think what kind of happened, like Ryan was talking about how, you know, demons, once they know you, I mean, they all know you. Once one of them knows you, all of them know you. And right. that there are cases that you'll have that the cases almost pick you.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense? Like,
it makes total sense.
Yeah.
I wrote a whole book about it.
Yes. Yeah. So that's kind of what he was talking about. And I think what happened was, again, it's an editing thing where the editors in California, they're not on set. So they're taking, like, you know, I don't know, 60 hours of footage, trying to condense it into 22 minutes that makes sense to a viewer. You know, so I think what was happening there was that they were just trying to make sense, because that's a very big concept to kind of grasp your head around in 22 minutes. So it's like, well, I think kind of the way the editing was, it made it look like Ryan had a demon chasing him, but that's not what was trying to be portrayed. You know, it was just sort of like the whole concept of, well, you know, things can follow you and things can call you, like can draw you into a case without you being aware of it. And, you know, they work as a network, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, I agree with all of those things, because I've definitely been drawn into cases where, you know, I was just walking down the street, dum-de-dum-de-dum, and, you know, the case had my name on it, apparently, so I get it.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, because I've wondered about that for quite some time, and actually, to tell you the truth, I wondered if it was editing.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, you seem to hear that a lot whenever it comes to any kind of reality show, that I'm a victim of editing. And, you know, oftentimes I wondered how much it was true, but it sounds like it was very much true in this case.
Yeah, I mean, there was never anything. I mean, you know, we get asked, it's so funny, there's this one website completely dedicated to the fact that Paranormal State is fake. Like, they're fake. If you, like, they're wearing the same, like, clothes on day two as day one. And it's like, well, that's editing. There's like, there's like 60 plus hours that we film, and you only see 22 minutes of it. So the editors have a very hard job of trying to put that all into 22 minutes to make sense of what happened over those 4 days. You know, so there's always like editing that doesn't exactly, I guess, if you want to like try to see if we're fake or not, you would pick out these things and be like, oh, they're wearing the same clothes, and oh, the clock says 11:32, but they're saying they're investigating at 3 a.m. But, you know, we have never faked anything. I would swear on any religious book you want me to swear on, we have never faked anything. And what I say to people all the time, I'm like, if you want proof, watch our episodes. We don't always have evidence.
Right.
Like, if we were faking things, don't you think we would have amazing evidence? Like, we don't. We had episodes where we called people out being liars. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I have seen a couple of those. You know, there was one case that you guys did that reminded me of one that I worked on, where a psychic told this woman that the one that I did it, she had 99 ghosts in her house.
Oh my gosh.
I mean, that's like the frat house.
Was she on a Native American burial ground too?
Well,
or a brothel?
Well, yeah, of course. You know, so it's like, yeah, you definitely, you're gonna, every now and then you're gonna deal with people who are really just, they're batshit crazy, man. You know,
you are,
and they're the ones that are popular, and they're the ones that are gonna be showing like, wow, cool reality TV. Let's edit them in there.
Right.
Yeah.
So did you ever have concerns then when you, because once you do a case, you've done everything you can do, and now it's out of your control. Did you have concerns that the editing could compromise your integrity or what you were trying to do?
Honestly, no, because Ryan fought very, very, very hard about who we were and about what we did. And he was very, very, I mean, strong about that. I mean, we've all said we would walk from the show if they ever did something like that. And every single one of us meant it.
Good you for
know?
You.
So, I mean, and that's the thing. Like, we all, everybody that you saw on our show takes this field very seriously. And, you know, we are working with real people. We're working with clients who really want help and who aren't doing this to be on TV. I can't tell you how many clients told me, you know, I don't want to be on TV, but I don't know what else to do. And they're out in California, and the only way we can get to them is because we get funding from the show.
Right.
You know, and people in this field know there's no funding for groups.
No.
You know, so if we're doing it privately, we have like a radius of maybe 4 to 5 hours that we can get to.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, we all take this very, very seriously, and I never had any fears about, you know, having our integrity compromised, because I know, I mean, we all would have left if that ever happened. And in the very, very beginning, I mean, I have what I call psychic experiences. I would never call myself a psychic, but I've had these experiences. And when the show first came out, they in the beginning, you see the credits, and it's like, you know, Ryan, leader, Sergi, photographer, you know, it says Katrina, interviewer. And originally, they had it as Katrina, psychic. And I was like, what? I'm like, what is going on? And I talked to Ryan about it. I'm like, I don't feel comfortable with that label at all. Because personally, I don't want people looking at me for all their answers in the world. You know, and I've seen that happen with psychics before. You know, people just like latch on to every single word they say as, you know, the truth. And that's scary to me. And so he fought for me very, very hard to get that changed.
Good.
And yeah, but he totally had my back on that. So there was never a concern for me.
Well, and a genuine psychic is going to tell you that, you know, they're not going to get 100% hits, that they're going to make mistakes, that, you know, nobody's right all of the time. No psychic is right all of the time that I know of, you know.
Yeah.
Right.
So because no matter how hard, and I would agree with you, I have had psychic experiences, but I'm not comfortable with the label psychic as well. But what I do know is from those experiences is no matter how hard I try, I can't filter out all of the crap that also comes into my head from my perceptions and my preconceived notions and my belief system and all of those filters. And that's got to be any psychic, including somebody as fantastically talented as Chip Coffey or anybody else. So
right.
I don't know. Me, I'm about as psychic as a stump, so, you know.
Oh, you're a liar. He's a liar. He's more psychic than, you know, me. So there you go. Okay, so you have some stuff coming up, and this is the first time you've announced it.
Yes. I can't say too much, but you guys are getting the first announcement.
Hold on a second. So, Katrina, hang on. This is a talk show.
Okay.
I'm just joking. Please proceed.
Oh, okay. Proceed.
So, like, I can't really say much. It's like, really, it's a talk show.
but I can say I am working on a new show.
Great. Oh,
cool.
Can't give a network or anything, huh?
As much as I can say is I'm working on a new show, but announcements will definitely be coming in the next couple weeks.
So where can people go to find those announcements?
Right now, I post a lot on my Twitter and my Facebook. So just, you know, twitter.com/KatrinaWiseman. And if you go to Facebook, just search for Katrina Wiseman Official, and you'll find my public page. I do have a website, katrinawiseman.com. It's not finished yet, so it's still a work in progress. But once that's up and, you know, finished and everything, I'll definitely be posting things there as well.
Okay, so spell Wiseman so that people actually, you know, spell it right.
I'm sorry?
Spell your last name so people actually spell it right.
I'll actually teach you guys a really easy way to remember my last name. When you go to a bar or when you're going to buy cigarettes, they say, "Hey, we ID, man."
Oh.
Kind of lame, but people always remember when I tell them this. So it's just WEIDMAN.
There you go. It's a mnemonic device.
Well, yeah, here in Illinois, we card hard, so it's, I don't think they're going to apply to us.
Very good. Well, it's been really fascinating talking to you. I've always wanted to talk to somebody from your show because you're one of the few shows that I haven't talked to somebody from. And, I mean, you know, other than like the recent batch of new shows, which there are so many that if we tried to cover them all now, we wouldn't have the time. We're only here 2 hours a week, 2 hours a week. So, so I've always wanted to talk to somebody from your show. And I've enjoyed your show. You're right. It's been very different than the other shows because it is about the people. And you don't always, maybe once or twice you went to a couple of kind of famous places, the touristy places. Mm-hmm. But for the most part, you work with clients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. So anything else you want our listeners to know before we cut you loose?
Just thanks for joining us. I had fun tonight.
Yeah, thank you. I hope that you'll come back after you can. Yeah. Make your big announcement, and we can talk about what's coming up.
Okay, that sounds good, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right.
Thank you, Katrina
Wiseman, everybody. Thank you. Okay, so that was great, Rick. I have gained new insight into paranormal state. How about you?
Definitely, you know, but I always have kind of liked the show, and I know that we've joked in the past about Ryan Buell, you know, walking past mirrors and always looking into them, and I think that that's just kind of a joke with people.
No, somebody actually posted like this great big huge thing about it. It was in that letter. I think it was in that letter that you were talking about. It was something like that.
But, I mean, you know, you can't, you know, with like Zach Bagans, you can't fake enthusiasm like that. Yep. With Ryan Buell, you cannot fake that kind of
commitment.
A commitment, that kind of intensity.
Yeah.
You can't fake that. I don't care who the actor is, if it's, you know, Sir William Burton or whatever, you know, it's like you can't fake that. And I always really thought he was, you know, young, but a really good investigator.
I was an investigator too
when I was young, real young. So.
Yeah. So I have a thought for the most intense ghost hunting duo ever, mm-hmm. Ryan Buell and Zach Bagans.
You know what? I'm thinking that would probably turn into a battle royale of intensity.
That would be really intense. Although, you know, when you talk, no, Zach's that intense when you talk to him all the time. So.
Right.
Yeah, definitely. Well, so I think one of the things that I appreciated that Katrina was talking about, Cheryl, you can pop on too if you want. We're just going to gab a little bit about, you know, we're going to talk about Katrina behind her back now.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. Let's do it.
No, but one of the things that I really appreciated that she was willing to talk about was the editing, because I think that that's something that sort of gets glossed over.
Oh, definitely.
That people don't say, they certain TV shows will stand by everything when some of it is very clearly editing, and she didn't do that.
Mm-hmm. No, I would definitely have to agree to that. Being a victim of editing, that's got to be one of the crappiest things that you could deal with, because it's like you're trying to show that you are completely legit, especially when it comes to stuff like this. She's totally dedicated to furthering the field, and you know, then Joe Schmo, the editor out there in California, totally screws it up.
Yeah, well, and, you know, I can speak from a little bit of experience because I was working on that documentary and I have edited, you know, 100 hours or so of video down to an hour and a half, and how mm-hmm. best to represent that story and how best to actually represent what you're doing and you know, that type of thing. So I totally can sympathize with the editors, but at the same time, what I say about that is that the reason that it was easier for me is because I was not an editor sitting back in a TV studio somewhere. I was on the set at all times. Mm-hmm. I, you know, if I wasn't with a group of people where something happened to, my husband was, and it made things a lot easier to edit in that way.
Well, I mean, I've never had a problem with that. Obviously, I've never done anything of that nature, but I mean, I know that there's been a couple of times on this show where the big boss ladies had to edit something up. I said, otherwise I'm going to get us, you know, would have gotten us sued. But yeah, I think that that's the only time I've ever, you know, had any kind of editing done on me. I'm sure that, Cheryl, would you agree that the dump button was used on me in the early days quite a bit?
Well, I wouldn't say quite a bit, maybe a few times.
Things have gotten better.
Yeah.
Things have gotten better.
Yes.
Things have gotten better. We're more careful about what we say now. And, yeah, you know, right. The other thing is I spent the whole entire, like, first year of the show on Percocet because I had that kidney stone.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. I mean, for the first 6 months of the show that we did, I was on drugs the entire time. That is no lie.
And that was, like, perfect because I was completely new to this, didn't know what the hell I was doing, and the host of the show is high every week.
I know. Woohoo! Well, yeah, because I got the kidney stone right before we started the show, and it just kept – and I missed a couple of the first shows because I was in the hospital, and mm-hmm. oh, yeah, I was crazy back then. So, Cheryl, what did you think about Katrina? Did you learn anything as far as the paranormal state? Did it shatter any of your preconceived notions, anything like that?
I enjoyed listening to you guys talk with Katrina, first of all. I thought that was a great discussion. And
Very much so, yeah.
It didn't shatter any of my expectations. I enjoy the show. Sad to see that it's not on the air anymore, but you know, it was on for quite a while, so that was mm-hmm. a good run. I do like to hear the insights as to some of the rumors that get out online about the show. You know, you guys covered some of them, and it just, you know, we were talking in the chat room while you guys were discussing this. if it's said, it can be taken at face value, and that's just it's unfortunate because it could be totally false, but that doesn't matter.
We've had it happen to us, Cheryl. You know, just with Paranormal Underground, we've had it happen. Groups have it happen. Mm-hmm. I've personally had it happen.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because one person says something.
You know. Exactly, and then it explodes, and it's completely false. And I'm not saying 100% of the time it's false, because it's probably not. But a good amount of the time, you know, having to deal with that, and that's a huge issue. And
I will tell you this: this is the first and only time I'm ever going to say this publicly. I've said it to you guys privately. But the reason that when we were working on the Wellington documentary, the reason that I scrapped that documentary is because one of the people who was involved in the documentary got mad because we wouldn't let him do something, and we wouldn't let him fake evidence, and he threatened to go to the press and tell them that we had been faking evidence, and there were three teams involved whose integrity was everything to them. And so I scrapped an entire documentary that Jim and I had spent tens of thousands of dollars on.
See, that's tragic. That's horrible.
Yeah,
and that's all you have in this field is your integrity and your rep. And there's always going to be somebody who's going to come along that's going to yell fraud, fake, you know, whatever, and just try to rip you down because they love doing that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, this was the one person who was actually trying to commit the fraud, which is what was so funny about it. But I couldn't do that because the teams that we were working with trusted me and trusted Paranormal Underground and Cheryl and Chad and I. And I believe that I had a long and tearful conversation with Cheryl and Chad about it, didn't I?
You did.
And we all decided that we had to because we couldn't risk anybody's reputation, even though the guy was a total liar. Because when stuff like that gets out in this field,
it can be very tough to overcome. That's for sure.
That's it. That's it. Mm-hmm. And so this was going to be released under a cloud, and I couldn't do that. I couldn't do that to Wellington. I couldn't do that to the groups. I couldn't do that to Paranormal Underground. Especially because we had done nothing wrong. Everything we did was genuine.
Right.
So, but well, that's the only time I'll ever talk about that.
Yeah.
Exclusive!
Okay. Karen, remember when someone that will go unnamed was reporting online that if people paid us, we would publish their articles in our magazine? Which is completely false, for one.
Wasn't it that guy? And I actually went and tried to argue with him about it.
Yeah, we won't mention his name, though, because we don't want to give any free press.
No, we don't want to give him
any
free press.
Yeah, that was the guy.
He absolutely started with ad hominem attacks, calling me names and telling me you're hardly a journalist. I mean, it was just, it was ugly. And it was, we had done nothing to ask for it. Basically, the premise was that somebody said, oh, Karen Fraser over at Paranormal Underground has the whole story. It was about was it about Taps Paracon?
It was. Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, and I had talked with all of the sides. I'd talked with Jason Haas. I'd talked with everybody but Brent Fair. I talked with all of the sides, and including the attorneys for the hotel and all of this stuff. And so somebody said, well, Karen Fraser has the whole story. She's talked to both sides. And he says, nobody knows who Karen Fraser is. She's nothing. No, she's a nobody. Blah, 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 blah.
Right. And then he started attacking these blatant lies, which
because
incredible.
He wanted to prove that he was more important than me. And I mean, I don't want to be important. I am a nobody. I'm just me, you know?
Yeah. So. Well, I think that was the same guy that did that smear thing on the iTunes that I found with the reviews in iTunes. And that was the most uncalled for thing because, you know what, and I've said it to you.
Oh, that was somebody else.
Oh, well, it's like, you know, I've told you before in private, but, you know, I will say here over the air that it's like, Karen, you are the reason that I wanted to write for this magazine. So,
thank you.
No, I'm quite serious. I mean, you know, I read, you know, I was reading the magazine and I read your stuff and I'm like, man, this lady's great. So, you know, that's when I contacted Cheryl.
And now Rick and I are lovers. Exclusive.
Uh-oh. Wow, lots of exclusives tonight. My goodness.
That'd be really hard between Chicago. You know, now that's going to be the thing that gets out on the internet, right?
Yep, it's the Chicago-Chehalis connection.
Chehalis.
Chehalis, oh, excuse me.
Chehalis.
Okay, got it.
So I was mentioning earlier that we were going to do William's Ghost Walk, and William is in our chat room. And so, William, since you're in the set within the sound of my voice, if you could just type the information into the chat room. Stop that chat.
Who just said Floppy?
Anyway, William, if you could type how people could contact you about participating in those tours into the chat room, that would be really great. And we have about a 30-second delay, so we'll come back to that in a minute or two. In the meantime, we got Boppy.
Well, I wanted to say somebody probably dared him to do that in the chat room. Maybe it was Teresa.
No. I could have found myself.
Oh, okay.
So Chad.
It was an act of aggression.
Chad, what did you think about all of the stuff that Katrina was telling us about Paranormal State?
Well, just, you know, from my own personal experiences in my life, you know, people say stuff that's not true. And it's... All you can do is just do the best you can, and hopefully the people that do believe in you won't let that affect how they feel.
Well, but she had a good point, and that point is this. This is a very small community. Ultimately, it seems like anybody in the paranormal community, at least in the legitimate here-to-stay paranormal community, mm-hmm. is going to run across everybody else. You know, we have like... It's not 6 degrees of separation. We probably have 1 degree of separation or 2 degrees of separation between us and anybody else who's a legitimate researcher.
Right.
Part of the issue I have is these people, some of these people want to be taken seriously. Hmm. But then they go out and just do the totally stupidest things and make themselves look bad. And then they wonder why nobody takes them serious.
Well, yeah. I think that, you know, when you get like, okay, if you're legit, hello?
We're here.
Oh, sorry about that. There was
Chad had a fan on. He must have turned it off.
I'm muting myself.
He mutes himself.
You know, if you are a longtime legitimate researcher investigator, and something like, you know, whatever should happen to you, television show, I think that, you know, it really is up to you to have that kind of creative control and say, hey, look, you know, I've been doing this. You know, a long time, and you know, this is the way it's going to be. I'm going to further this field. You know, if it should happen to somebody,
yeah.
But at the same time, I think that a lot of people that do get involved with, you know, the entertainment side of this, and you know, I say that the reality side of this, TV side of it, I think that a lot of them fall prey to this is what the producer wants.
Yes, I agree, and it sounds like Paranormal State did not do that.
Right. Right.
And I was really happy to hear that. Okay, real fast. So William's ghost tours in Oregon City this weekend. You want to come hang out with William, and I'll be there one of those days. William@paranormalinsights.net, www.northwestghosttours.com, which is a great site because they have a video of Route 66 that was filmed in the TV show Route 66 that was filmed in Oregon City. Oh, or at www.paranormalinsights.net. So there you go. That's how you can get a hold of William for the tours. And I'm looking forward to this because I've heard a lot about William's tours, never been on them before, and woohoo! I'm ready to get my ghost on.
That'll be fun. I can't wait to hear about it.
I know. Yeah. Well, you know, I'm not gonna be one of those people who goes on a ghost tour with like my recorder. I'll probably take my recorder because ghosts like me and I get lots of EVPs. But you know, I'm not gonna go do the full investigation thing. I'm just gonna go and see what I can sense because I'm really into seeing what I can. You know, when my spidey sense goes off lately, it's pretty fun.
Yeah.
So, phone.
Jim, well, get the phone.
No, that was Cheryl and Chad. That was Cheryl and Chad's phone. Mine is the dog's. And, of course, you might hear my husband doing little construction things around in the background as well. We're very exciting at my house this evening. So okay, what else do you want to talk about? We have 15 minutes.
15 minutes.
Sorry about that, gang. We usually unplug the phone from the wall so it doesn't do just that. But apparently we forgot.
Well, it Newt? Was it the Newt 2012 campaign?
Well, if they're from the 213 area code, it was.
We've been getting the Newt 2012 campaign phone calls every single night here.
Do you just
and
hang
that's,
up?
That's you where just, the like, end of the world will come from.
It's Newt 2012.
Newt Gingrich 2012. He will be the cause for the Mayan calendar to come to an end.
We probably shouldn't talk politics or we'll never have anybody ever want to talk.
No, I know.
Well, I have a topic that I just want to touch on because I know we've already talked about this show in the past, but who's still in on American Horror Story?
You know, I was going to stop, and then I accidentally didn't.
It's hard to stop watching that show, isn't it?
It's Dylan McDermott, right, ladies?
Every week I say, oh my God, this is the last time I'm ever going to watch this show.
We've had that conversation here, too.
I know, exclusive. So every week I turn on my DVR and the thing is recorded again.
Yeah.
And so I watch it, and now next week's the season finale, so I might as well watch it.
Well, there's only like one person left on the whole show that's
I was going to say, spoilers, Chad. Dead except for
spoiler alert. Yeah.
Well, there you
go. Dead except for Dylan.
Everybody's brought up to speed now on the show.
That's right. That's pretty much all there is. But here's what I want to know. Here's how can a ghost deliver a frickin' baby?
Isn't that so cool?
I have never had a ghost.
But they kind of left there at the end when she died.
Well, what else could they do?
So is it born a ghost baby? Or
no, the babies were born live and squirreled off to the ghosts who were raising them.
So
what?
I thought they said the first baby was dead.
Rick. Oh, I think that was not true, Chad. I think that was a ploy.
Yeah.
I don't know.
You know what? I'm just going to hang up and let you guys have this because I'm sorry, but this show just sounds so ridiculous.
It is. That's why every week I'm not going to watch it. But then when I go to watch my Top Chef, because I record Top Chef every week, so when I go to watch Top Chef and I look on the DVR, there it is. So I think, oh, all right, one more week. So we could talk Dexter.
We could, although I've never watched that show.
I've never seen it.
Karen, oh my God. Go for it. No, tell us about Dexter.
All I can say is that Dexter is like the most awesome anti-hero ever.
I've heard lots of great things about it.
He's like a serial killer who kills serial killers.
He's a serial killer, but he's a serial killer with a code of ethics. He only kills people who do bad in the world, who kill people. So,
Whoa, so, what's that?
That's Jim.
But here's the thing.
Is Jim hammering in the background?
Yeah, I
Jim
told
with
you,
the nail
Jim.
Gun right
every time.
Jim with the nail gun in the conservatory.
Okay.
Techie McSciensky.
Strongly suggest if you can get it on Netflix or wherever you stream movies.
Maybe.
Watch Dexter. It's start from the first season and just go through. I did that with Lost because somebody on the precursor to Paranormal Underground, Ghost Dose, her name was Pinky, who sometimes listens to this radio show, got me hooked on Lost. She was like, you've never watched Lost? And so I sat there and I streamed like five seasons in a row or something.
You know
and
he's then, coming up a new show.
I know. So I'll tell you a movie I just watched that I thought, I just watched two paranormal movies that I thought were really good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Cowboys and Aliens.
Oh!
You know what?
I read the
graphic novel. I loved it, but I haven't seen the movie yet.
So much fun. What a great movie. And then the other one is Super 8. Have you guys seen Super 8?
We saw that recently, actually.
No.
I liked it. It reminded me. It was very kind of the 80s kid movies. Like they used to have, like, Gremlins.
Mm-hmm. Love Gremlins. It's one of my all-time favorite movies. I mean, little furry things that turn into big green things that kill everything inside. Love it.
Yeah, it's that's what it reminded me of. So J.J. Abrams has a new show coming out?
Yeah, called Alcatraz.
Oh, is it
Alcatraz?
Yeah, the premise of it is these people were no longer at Alcatraz, but they weren't released. I guess they disappeared, and I guess they're supposed to tell the story about it. Something like that.
Okay. So have you guys watched, there's also like another show right now that's a fairy tale show on.
Yeah.
Anybody watched that?
Unfortunately, I haven't had a chance. I did want to watch it. Is it any good? Do you know?
I don't know.
You don't know?
I watch Top Chef, American Horror Story.
Yeah.
I'm totally addicted to the world's dumbest shows on True TV. Yeah. Those are great. Anybody else watch those?
What are they? Yeah.
World's Dumbest Criminals.
Yeah, World's Dumbest Criminals, like, where they show like videos and like has been celebrities like Danny Bonaduce and other ones like of his ilk. You know, they do like these funny little commentaries.
So it's like a guilty pleasure show.
It's like my crack cocaine.
It's pretty funny
I have a really embarrassing guilty pleasure show.
Okay.
It's constant. It runs all year long because they move it from city to city to city. I can't get enough of those idiot Real Housewives. They are so stupid, and they are so shallow, and they are so me, that watching it just amuses the heck out of me. I feel so much better about myself.
Oh, Mustang Merle in the chat room says Grimm and Once Upon a Time.
Oh, there are two.
Yeah. Okay.
There
you go. Neither one of them.
Cheryl, do you have a new guilty pleasure right now?
Oh, gosh. Well, I mean, reality TV still. We just ended The Amazing Race. I don't know if people consider reality TV a guilty Survivor's pleasure, but we still watch Survivor.
Forever?
Those kind of things. Survivor.
You know what Timothy Leary said, right? What? About reality. Reality is the only word in the English language that should always be used in quotes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what
How real is it really, though?
Oh, there's not. No, they're all ridiculously scripted. Some of them are obviously scripted.
Mm-hmm.
And others, you know, they have slightly better acting skills. So, I mean, look at the whole Kardashian thing with the wedding and the, you know, all of that stuff. How, you know, clearly that was just to make them a gazillion dollars.
Well,
that's the word on the street, right?
And I felt sorry for that guy because he really was heartbroken, it seemed.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's true. I wonder what the true story is, since we don't really know.
I don't know. Maybe we should have him on our show.
Yeah.
You know, the Kardashians are nothing but a bunch of spoiled brats. Is that the truth behind the show?
I don't know.
Seriously, I mean, I've watched it a couple times, and it's like, how much more famous for being famous can you possibly be?
Well, what a sad commentary on our society that the famous people are people like Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian, who've done nothing to advance humanity.
Right.
You know, I have a real problem with that. So, hey, Cheryl.
Yes, Karen.
Would you?
No, if that didn't sound scripted, I don't know what does.
I know, and it wasn't.
It wasn't.
Believe
that or not.
Would you like to just give a list?
Hey, Chad.
Hey, holla. Would you like to give a list of some of the wonderful upcoming shows? And as you list a guest, I can kind of say a little bit the ones I know about what they are.
Yeah, I would. Next week we are having Jeff Duretti from Nightwalkers Paranormal Society join us. And Karen, do you know about Jeff?
I don't.
Well, what I know,
so far I'm doing great.
Good job. Good way to start. From what I know, he's a member of Nightwalkers, and we recently had Michael on, who was also from Nightwalkers. He was the EVP specialist, as well as Colleen from the team. Jeff,
awesome.
They were great.
They were fun. Jeff also, as a side note, according to Colleen, has a very successful horror props business.
Horror. That's a whole different
H-O-R-R-O-R. It's called The Devil's Door.
Totally different types of props.
And, so he's going to be on next week. And apparently he designs apps for the Android market and has one out there for the paranormal investigator on the Bridgewater Triangle. New one coming out on the Bridgewater Triangle, so we can ask him about that. And the week after... Yes, Rick.
Jeff Grunau of the Great American Phenomenon Hunt.
He's
so much fun. But Jeff has got some, you know, he wants to share with us some really big projects that they have coming up. And it looks like, you know, the Great American Phenomenon Hunt will be going global. So, you know, it'll be really good to talk to him again.
That's interesting. Yeah. Well, he's going to be on right after Christmas, December 29th. Skipping ahead to the new year, January 5th, we're going to have Chris Halton of Haunted Earth, and Rick can tell us about him.
Yeah, Chris. You know, Chris Halton. He's a. I'm not sure if he's still a police officer, but it was a former police officer in England. It's a UK show. You can find it at Haunted Earth, or you can find it at YouTube at Constantine 999999. Whatever. That's where I found it. But you know, the show's great because I really prefer the European way of investigating. It's less intrusive, and it's not all about, hey, you're going to do what I tell you to do, you know, the provoking and all that stuff. And, you know, his show Haunted Earth, you know, really goes through that. And it's a really great show. I really enjoy it, and I think he's going to be a great guest.
Ruby.
Karen, you're going to tell us about the next three guests that we have booked. After Chris, we have Neil McNeil on the 12th of January, Joe Teeples
I just love that name.
On the 19th, and Rochelle Wright on the 2nd of February.
Right. So Neil is a he actually teaches classes at a local college in paranormal, and he's done a lot of research at Port Gamble. Now, we've discussed Port Gamble, which is an entire haunted town, on this radio show numerous times, and he's actually been able to use Port Gamble as his lab, and he's gotten very some cool repeatable phenomena.
Nice.
I know. And so next, Joe Teeples. Joe Teeples is a paranormal author here from the Pacific Northwest. Great guy. Really fun to talk to. Can tell you a story about just about anything. You're going to love Joe. And then finally, tell me her name again. I'm sorry.
Rochelle Wright.
Rochelle Wright. So I saw Rochelle speak at a conference, and she is a therapist. I believe she's a cognitive behavior therapist, which is a form of psychotherapy. And she is not a psychic. She is not a paranormal person. But what she does is she does interventions with women who have lost their husbands, widows. Mm-hmm. And she does past life communications, or not past life, like afterlife communications for these women with their husbands.
Wow.
It's wow. really sounds interesting. Intense. And so, yeah, I don't totally understand the whole thing, but it just sounds like a really fascinating topic.
Wow, we have a lot of good guests coming up.
I know. There you have it. So, woohoo. In the meantime...
I'm sorry. Before we go, I just want to thank again Katrina Weidman. Katrina was also featured in our September 2011 issue on paranormalunderground.net. You can read it for free just by going to our magazine archives.
Demarest.
Very good. Okay.
I want you, Rob Demarest, now. No, just joking.
Rob wrote that article.
That's about all we have for this week. Thank you so much for those of you who stuck it out through this last little bit where we talked about our favorite TV shows because, you know,
we're so
very exciting people. We're very fascinating people. In the meantime, come back next week. We are going to be talking to, one more time, who are we talking to?
Jeff Duretti from Nightwalkers Paranormal.
Right. So next week, Jeff Duretti, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, other times as you fly across the country. Hey, I changed it, Rick.
Well, that's you know, Chicago, Illinois is the jewel of the Midwest.
It is the flyover state. So before my dogs begin to completely freak out, I am going to say goodnight. We'll talk to you guys next week, Paranormal Underground Radio on Z-Talk Radio. Thank you so much.
Good night, everyone.
Night-night.
If you'd like to be a guest on Paranormal Underground Radio, email editor@paranormalunderground.net. Until next week, keep exploring the unexplained at www.paranormalunderground.net and join us again next week for Paranormal Underground Radio on the Z-Talk Radio Network.
It starts with an itch and a tingle, and then it builds and expands. And suddenly, all at once, my legs won't let me stand. I scratch till my fingers go numb, but my skin never bleeds. A silent accomplice waits and feeds when I'm asleep. Something that lives inside me, I promise I never let it end. Oh, oh, oh. It grows and divides inside me, it's making a home beneath my skin. Are in place. It's bright in the sun and it's dark and night.